Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
You're listening to Sheffield Dawn on 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
I'm Alfie Bull, and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday, the 27th of September. And I just want to say, you know, if you're kind of like tuning in, if you're just kind of like surfing the airways and you're kind of thinking, yeah, Sweet Talking Sport, what's all that about? Well, it'd be good for you to hang around. And I've got joined by the man called G and CV.
Good evening.
You know, so... what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kick into this kind of like straight away, really. And I want to talk about Max Verstappen. For people who don't really know his name, it kind of like deals with the F1C. And I'll get to the nitty gritty of this when I get into the story. But I just want to talk about F1, the calendar. It's a record-breaking schedule, with 24 Grand Prix events around the world. Previous one was 22, and that ended last year. So the season started 6 months ago in Bahrain, in the Persian Gulf. I'm going to go into the current standings. Verstappen, he kind of leads with the Red Bull, 331 points. Lando Norris, GB. McLaren 279, Brit, and in third place is Charles Leclerc, who is from Monaco, Ferrari, 245 points. So I'm just going to go into the system, the point system. So if you finish a race first, it's 25 points, second is 18, third is 15, fourth 12, fifth 10, 6, 8, 7, 6 points, 8th place is 4, 9th place 2, and 10th place is 1. So basically, after finishing the top 10 to collect points, and you know, the driver will collect points for himself and for the team. So, like I said, basically, it's almost like the two key factors of F1. There's the driver championships and the constructors championships also as well. And like I said, you need to come in the top 10 to collect points. Each F1 team has two cars and both can score points also as well. And say, like, if like, say me and CV was driving for one team, and for argument's sake, I had, say, 500 points. If I decided, or another team decided, that they wanted me to drive, I take my points with me as well, and also the points what I've accumulated with like, say, CV, they would kind of stop with him as well. But onto Verstappen, he's been a naughty boy. Basically, he's been swearing in a kind of press conference, and he actually used the F word as well. So Verstappen didn't really see that he had a problem in that. And what F1 have said, they've ordered him to do some work of public interest following his bad language outburst. Verstappen, he just can't believe it. He's saying it's kind of like ridiculous, and this could just kind of throw him out the door from F1. Now, the next kind of like Grand Prix is next month, October the 20th. It's in the United States, a 56 lap of the American Austin circuit. And, you know, I must admit, I don't really kind of address F1 a lot on this show, but obviously it's what it says on the tin, Sweet Talking Sport with guests. So, you know, I mean, in fact, the last time, in fact, yeah, I'll tell you the truth, I've watched two F1 races in my time, and the first one was that shenanigan with Hamilton when he refused to kind of move over for his teammate, Nico Rosberg. That were back in 2014, 10 years ago. So that just shows that I'm not really the number one fan, but, you know, like we said, it's sweet talking sport, and I just thought I'd just share that with your guys. I mean, Verstappen, he can't see a reason, guys, why they've kind of like, they've come down on him heavy, you know what I mean? I mean, he's been swearing in press conferences and can't really see a problem. Is Verstappen out of control?
It sounds that way. Because at the end of the day, I mean, swearing, it doesn't matter what kind of sport, you know, whatever form of sport. Once you're on TV, you've got to watch your language. Even on the radio station, you have to watch your language.
100%, I get that.
But because he's been world champion now, what is it, the fifth season this year, he's been world champion or whatever, I think he's put himself on a pedestal, as if to say, I'm up there now, so nobody can tell me what to do. I mean, Lewis has been there, all the other champions have been there. I've never heard one of them swear yet, but I didn't know this about Verstappen, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he just kind of like, you know, whether he was vexed or something like that, and it just kind of riled him up. But, I mean, when, you know, like you said, quite rightly, G, you know, we couldn't be cussing bad word on here and expect to get away with it without no repercussions and that. So why Verstappen? Well, just because he's got the name, he's got the T-shirt. Yes, he's a Formula One and he's out there as well. But, like, yeah, there's no kind of substitute for anybody to come out with some kind of foul, bad language. 6 minutes past six, we've just into the show, talking about F1 for a change, and then we'll mix it up now and go into the boxing. And before we go into the boxing, I just want to say that CV was actually bang on the money with that one, because he was the only one out of us guys what predicted a shock, and he used that word, a shock. And I thought, do you know what? Yeah, you're right, CV. So hats off to you. You know what I mean? You know.
Well, last week, I just felt that AJ was going to get beat. Having followed AJ and looked at him and looked at his career, and people tend to talk about, yeah, AJ can bang and he can knock people out. And yeah, I agree. It's true. He does. He does do that. But let's look at it in depth now. Let's look at his losses. When AJ has lost, he has lost to people, right? Who move? Who are like the mobility? They don't stand. They're a lot more. There's a lot more, I don't know, more agility, like. So, AJ hasn't got that. He can't, he doesn't know how to handle that. When my big man, is it Ruiz or whatever, who beat him, right? Now, that Ruiz was nothing special, right? In a way, to be fair, he was a big guy, weren't he?
Yeah, definitely, I'd agree with that.
Full up on McDonald's.
Yeah,
full up on McDonald's and some and ice cream squash business. You know what I mean, right?
And he must have doubled them up for the rematch, because he thought
bigger still.
Yeah,
bigger than big.
Right. So he fought him, and he beat him comfortable. He beat AJ because AJ too static. He's too. You can read him. He's too static. Right, let's left that behind now. It goes on to what I call tapa tapas, as in Usyk. And Usyk just make him look like fool. You know, make him, again, mobile, skilled, good at what he does. AJ couldn't cope with it. Couldn't cope with him. And
was you kind of like surprised in the way that that he got tapped? Because he just looked like a kid in a playpen.
Go on. Very, very surprised. And you have to take your hat off to Dubois. He came out, like I said, he's going to come out and he's going to mean business. But AJ last week and the way them two fight, you would have thought Dubois was the world champion.
100%.
He came out and he meant business. And AJ just couldn't cope. I was very surprised to see how easy he went in the first round.
And yeah, he was lucky that the bell
saved him.
If it wasn't for this...
Yeah, would knock out in the first round.
Oh gosh!
Can you imagine that?
That would have been the most embarrassment as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, right? His camp, Ben, who trains AJ, they knew Dubois was going to come out straight away fighting. He was going to take the center of the ring. They knew he was going to come out, right? So, for me, AJ knew that. Why didn't he do something about it?
Mm.
Right? The reasons why, for me, this is my personal, for me, it's because he can't handle people who move around. They've got that agility. He can't angle it. And when it comes to, right, he's looking for that right. And yeah, and if he connects you know about it. I agree with that. If he connects you. But at the same time, he's got to be able to take a right as well.
Yeah, you're right. Because
he can't.
I think, you know, just going on what you're saying now, when AJ's camp were just saying, like, throw the dice.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just... He just got destroyed.
He got absolutely.
It was the wrong information going out, and there was, you know, I've watched the fight over again a few times, and I'm thinking, yeah, he had a look about him, AJ. Well, it wasn't a confident look, if you know what I mean.
When he was walking down, he was coming down then, it didn't look confident. Same with this fight, it didn't look confident. When
he come down, right, when Dubois came down, he looked like a Tyson. Him looked like Tyson when he come down, because he did you see the little black pants or something where my wheel? Yeah. Coming like Clinton, you know, Clint Eastwood. Coming like Clint. Yeah! Yeah, coming like Clint.
The gunslinger.
Yeah,
I'm liking that. And do you know something? What might have riled him up a little bit more as well, because he did come out first.
I didn't understand that, but I mean, my man Frank Warrington, he explained it.
You probably watched the same thing on TalkSport when he explained it.
Yeah, he did explain that.
I mean, maybe they kind of like predicted that because of a kind of like fight, a previous fight, I should say, in the contract, isn't it? Like the winner would walk out second and all that kind of stuff.
At the time,
yeah,
Dubois hadn't got the IBS. He hadn't got it then.
He's still bang out of order, though. He's still bang out of order. I mean, you know, the champion had come out first, and it's just so wrong. And I think that would have just fueled the bar, really. It would have just fueled him to say, do you know what? And I like when you know, like, he just... People will say, yeah, if you knock him out, it's just straight on it. A man of kind of few words.
Yeah, that's the what. Yeah, it,
but
doesn't say too much.
But his words are deep, like BS.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a blues and the BS is just. I'm liking that. I tell you what as well. Chris Eubanks has been running things, hasn't he? With his mouth.
Oh, I've watched it today.
Eubanks is calling out them promoters like dirt.
Ah, couldn't.
You know, and I mean, I'm not going to say the word what he came out with, because Frank Warren is saying that he's going to be looking to sue somebody. So I'm going to replace the word what Chris Eubanks Jr. called Frank Warren, and he kind of mentioned Eddie Hearn as well. So I'm going to replace that word with custard cream. Yeah, because I can't afford to be sued. Yeah, so I'm just gonna just skirt around the edges here. But Eubanks Jr., he didn't hold back, and basically is, I wouldn't say it was sour grapes, because he's got a point that them promoters will bleed out boxers. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And you know, Eubanks were just saying that, you know, before his tear up with Camille next month, which is actually on the 12th in Saudi, is kind of like calling out them promoters, yeah, because they're just bleeding out the money. There was a fight what didn't take place, and which was the Nigel Benn fight,
right?
And Eubanks Jr. pulled out of a fight with another boxer, and Warren kind of like was suing him for that. Do you know what I mean? So, quite rightly so. Why should he, you know, go with them boxers? He's actually with boxer now, isn't he? Yeah. So, I think he feels a lot more happier. So, I think, do you guys know the word, what he was saying?
What? I haven't seen that interview. No.
Yeah, you mean what he was talking...
Yeah, what was the word what we come out with?
One of them, look at S word business.
Yeah.
An S word, isn't it? An S word. Yeah.
Can you repeat the word what he said?
No, because I don't want my man. I don't want Frank come and knock on my door. Do you want some as well? Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, because Mr. Warren, it's possible he could even be listening. You know
it
what
could
I mean?
Be, it could
and he
be.
Could say, listen, there's three kind of ragamuffin youths on that show, and I'm going to sue every one of them.
That's right.
So, we're not saying nothing yet.
Yeah.
We're not sue me for.
Because we're not saying nothing yet. Because I heard how he went on and talked sport with Goldstein.
Yes.
And Bent.
Yes.
Right? He went on a way with Goldstein.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
Goldstein
he did.
Was only, all Goldstein was only repeating what was said.
Yes, 100%.
And Frank went on a way about...
He said, you better watch it as well, because...
Do you want some as well?
And Goldstein had to just calm him down. He said, hang on a minute, I'm just repeating what...
Yeah, I am. I'm not saying it, he said. Oh,
and it was in his face, big time. You know what I mean? Yeah, in his face, big time. But I think... It's going to be an interesting tear up that with Eubanks Jr. next month, you know, and we obviously wish him all the best in that one. I'm going to be watching that one, and like I said, there's a bit of history between Eubanks Jr. and Warren. Like we said, Warren sued Eubanks Jr. For pulling out a fight in 2016 against Tommy Langford, it was, and then Hearn, when there was a fight, a proposed fight with Conor Benn, failed to materialise, who tested positive for a banned substance. Eubanks Jr. is now with boxer, like we said. I know, CV, there's something that you want to get off your chest. You know, you want to discuss the Arsenal and Manchester City game from last week. The floor is yours.
Right. Okay. So, courting session. Courting session. Last week, right, City played Arsenal. Now, I've said before on this station before, I rate Arsenal, man. I think that they're the nearest thing to us. They play a very similar style of football to us. So I rate them. So I want to get that out first for people before anybody starts to say anything. Right? I rate them. But on Sunday, it showed me something why the two clubs are different. The two teams are different. Now, Arsenal came there, right? And as I'm saying, they come there to do a job. And my first call was, they came there to make sure that they got Rodri out of the game. Because in the first
couple of minutes they fouled him, right? And then they went on in the ending to complete the mission, right? And Roger were fouled and he was taken off. He's now out of the game now for the full season.
Wow.
He won't be playing for City again until next season. So, they completed the mission. Now, what I'm going to say is,
Jesus Christ, Billy.
Man City, right? I've never known Manchester City to change the way they play football. I've never known them do that. Wherever they go, right, they play the same standard of football. Everybody knows if they play Manchester City will have most of the possession. They will keep the ball, right? That's how Man City play. So they don't change their style of play when they go to anybody, right? So when we go to the Emirates, we don't change our style of play. We play exactly the same as when we play at the Etihad, right? Which is attacking football, possession football. Now, when Arsenal come to us, they change their style of football, which is they just come there to make sure that they do not lose, right? They make sure they come there not to lose, right? So that means, right, they've changed their style of just to defend. Okay. That's what they do. They try to defend, right? Now, to me, if you're changing your style of football, right, that tells me then you're worried about us.
Yeah,
because
so.
If you're not worried about us, you will come and play exactly the same way you play when you're at home. Because I don't see them changing up their style of football when they're playing against your teams like your Newcastles, your Notts Forest and whatever. They will play the same way as they play at the Emirates. But when they come to us, all of a sudden, they're changing the style of play, right? What's that about?
Mm. So would you say that they changed the style as soon as the whistle went, or when they dropped down to 10?
I would say that they'd already come with a plan already. They was coming there to defend. Their idea was they was coming there not to lose.
Because I know we, you know, well, we always have conversations about football and, you know, we kind of like take it to pieces and all that kind of stuff. And I thought the first half it was a decent first half, and then for me, Arsenal just spoiled it up in the second half. I was surprised. Two banks, a defensive line,
correct,
and no outlet.
Correct.
And I just got switched off. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, wow, you know.
It's not like they didn't have an outlet, because they had Raheem Sterling on the bench. And Ryan Sterling's got pace. So that would have been their outlet.
And for whatever reason, Arteta didn't play him, did he?
He didn't play him.
You think there's something going on with Sterling these days, Ryan? None of these managers seem to want to play.
I think he's brought him in for a reason, and I think he will get his chance. But I just think that for that particular game and the way it went, and because, you know, they had to kind of like change up the formation and stuff, because obviously the play gets sending off, I should say. He just thought, do you know what? Yeah, Sterling's an attacker. I don't really need an attacker on, really. I need rather than to keep that shape, the midfield and stuff.
Arteta had the idea. His idea was, listen, we can hold out and come away with a 2-1. That's what his idea was. We can hold out and come away with a 2-1. Well, it didn't. It didn't hold out. We ended up scoring, and how we ended up scoring was because of the extra time and the foolishness that what their players was going on with. Every minute, one player was going down with cramp. Goalkeeper go down with cramp. This young man there go down with cramp. That the man there go down with cramp. Right. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here?
I mean, to be fair, do you know, do you think most teams would have just... I think most teams, to be honest with you, would have probably gone to two banks of a defensive line. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, don't get me wrong, maybe. But you would have an outlet. You'd have an outlet. You'd have some, so the person can hold the ball up.
I think when that probably would sound like if the ball did get turned over, there would have been some that would have offset somebody to get in a position and maybe send that ball forward. But yeah, just thinking about the game now, I think most teams would have done that. You out of the teams. What are most likely, unlikely to do it, I'd have put Arsenal up there, to be honest with you.
Most likely.
Man U, Arsenal, Liverpool, do you know what I mean? But all the rest of the clubs, even Championship, I've seen that with Sheffield United, you know, they kind of like, it was just drabbed.
Well, I look at him, for instance, right? He shouldn't have gone down to 10 men, because that's a player who obviously he's not thinking, because you'd got the guy called Trossa, right? He'd already had a yellow card, right, for a foul. He'd already had a yellow card, right? Okay, a thinking person, right? The ball comes, right? So what does he go and do? He kicks the ball, he blasts the ball away when game stops.
For
no reason, really. The game was stopped, and he kicks the ball.
Just
away.
Wasting time,
right?
He's just wasting right. time to that. The opposition can't take a quick free kick.
So
that's
me,
what they do it for.
For me now, right? Where's your argument? Because you've already got a yellow card already, so that's automatic. You've played into the referee's hands. He's got to give you another yellow card.
Yeah, he just made the referee's decision kind of easy, really.
He's got to give you another yellow card to go off. So that just shows me, right, not thinking. They're not thinking. And as the guy who sits next to me, I turned to him and I said, you know what? These lot can defend with 11 men. This now makes our game a lot harder, because they're just going to just put two banks in front, and they're going to say to Man City, break through that if you can, right? Unfortunately for them, we did. But the thing, like I've said, I'll go back again, because of this, they're wasting time. The referee adds on more minutes. He added on 8 minutes, and guess what? We scored in the 8th minute.
See, I've never understood that, me, when it comes to football. Surely you must know every minute, every second you waste during the time of football, it's going to be added on the end. How many times have teams lost because of that?
I think,
wasting time, and then you get caught out at the end with just some foolishness that the other team comes back and
scores. I mean, not only wasting time, it allows players to get a breather and stuff like that as well. There's all them kind of little tricks going off in the background. Do you know what I mean? It allows players maybe to intake some water. Maybe the manager sent a message on to the players to make a play take one. And then obviously you've seen them either huddle up and drink the bottles of water and stuff. And at that point, I should say, the manager is giving instructions. It might change the formation and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things what goes off, and it's for a referee to put his authority on the game. They're aware, but how do you stop that? I mean, every season there's something different with the rules. Do you know what I mean? To try to cut out the time wasting and stuff. But the players in the modern game, that they'll find a way, because obviously most of the time a player goes down and you've got to assume that player is injured. Because if the referee was nearby, you've seen them when they've just kind of waved them up, come on, get on with it. But when there's a bit of doubt, they have to give the player the benefit of the doubt, 100%. You know, because if the day they get that wrong, they're in trouble. I mean, I'm going to talk about one of your big players, Erling Haaland. Apparently, and I'm saying apparently, he's expressed his desire to quit Man City at the end of the season. Now, this decision's come about, we know about the 115 charges that they alleged breached Premiership League rules. It's alerted the big giants of Europe, and I said the big giants of Europe, so the teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich. I mean, there's people out there what might say, well, you know, what makes Bayern Munich a big team? You know, you look at the history of the club, the trophies they've won, fan base, how successful they are, you know, season after season. I mean, how do you feel about Erling Haaland digging up from Man City at the end of the season? I mean, apparently he did say, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, apparently he did say that City was never a long-term project. It was always going to, you know, stay a few seasons, and that he's probably won everything there as well. And it's maybe it's a different challenge what he's seeking. But would that put a dent in? Is it just Erling Haaland or other stars kind of looking at it as well? Are they bracing themselves for an exodus? If the worst possible scenario, CV, yeah. Mr. City, we are saying.
That's, I don't really know what to say, really, because that's what's going to happen, isn't it? As far as I know, I ain't heard that.
Okay.
I ain't heard anything about that.
Okay.
About Haaland saying anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that. I don't know where you've got that from. I haven't heard it. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's obviously we know that the press and the media can twist up things and all that kind of stuff, and you can read into certain things. I mean, you know, Haaland, yeah, no doubt is a big play for them.
I've got to say this. This has been, they've been saying things like this from time. From time they said it last year, right? So me, until you see it, then I believe it. But they've been talking long. They were talking before. Roger's going to Real Madrid. Roger's just signed a new contract. So for me, until I see it, then I'll believe it.
I mean, obviously, these big players, I mean, all big players now, well, not just big players, but players signing a contract, they have, like, clauses in their agreement, don't they, that if any club comes in for me, I can speak for them, or if there's, like, a clause in their transfer, if they're willing to pay whatever, or if it's a Premiership club or if it's a top European club, it allows them to talk to that club. It's kind of in their contract. I mean, if let's just say that, you know, the worst case scenario happened, where they got deducted so many points and it was sort of like the most difficult of seasons for them to kind of stop up. What would really happen to these players? Because yeah, they're under contract. Some have massive contracts. Do you think they just have to let him go, or what? What would happen to these big players at Manchester City?
Well, for me, that would be down to the players. The players, it's down to them whether you want to stay or whether you go. There's not more. If the club wants to be funny, they could say you're not going anywhere because you are under contract. You're under contract till 2027. So we're not prepared to let you go. There's not much the player could do about it because them players are under contract.
Yeah,
that would be true. If you're under contract, if the contract.
Then players are under contract,
and
right?
It's valid, isn't what? It?
It's like a player when a player decides that he doesn't want to play and whatever, and then what they do, they say, "All right, then play with the youth man." Them. That's what they do. They say, "All right, you don't
play with the youngers.
You're playing with the youth man."
It's
but
true.
We're not letting you go. Right, I'll give you another example. Chelsea, right? They've got a left back called
Cucurella.
No, the other one, Chidwell.
Okay, yeah.
Right,
yeah, Ben Chidwell.
Right, yeah, I've been playing. They said they were going to get rid of him. Right, basically said he's not playing for Chelsea. But look now, he's in the team. He's playing. Right, they've got him back in the team. So things like,
do you think they would have done the same if Sterling was still there? Do you think, because that would have been an interesting scenario, that wouldn't it?
At City or at
Chelsea.
Yeah. I think my personal opinion there. I think there was some sort of conflict between the manager and Sterling. I believe he felt Sterling, they were paying
too much
money.
I agree with that myself.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
They were playing. So I think they thought, you know what? We've got to get rid of some of these big earners.
I think you've got a point, and I think also, I think I've probably got to go with what Enzo was saying. Is, you know, like, he's a good player, but Enzo just didn't really fancy him in that position. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, rightly or wrongly, I thought it was shocking the way they went about their business. Really, yeah, I thought it was really sad.
I was asked a question, me. Right. If it does come to the point that Manchester City are guilty, right, and they say, right, we're going to dock them, or they were to relegate them, would I, me, who supported them over 40 odd years, right, would you still go and watch them? That's what I was asked.
If they got relegated.
If they got relegated, would you still go and watch...
To League One.
To go and watch Manchester City.
Okay.
Right. And I thought, right, valid question, that.
Mm.
And I said, yep, I'd go and watch them. And the guy went, you what? Really? Mm. You'd go and after watching what you've watched, you'd go... And I said, you know what? It wouldn't bother me that much. It's not a bigger thing for me. Just remember where I've come from. I've seen that already. I've watched Manchester City playing Chesterfield, Wycombe Wanderers. So it's not a big deal. We've already been there already. So basically, you start all over again.
And what team did that guy support? What team?
Who did he support?
Yeah,
Newcastle.
Okay. I mean that probably falls nicely into it, really, because obviously Newcastle United are at home to
us.
Manchester City, yeah. Tomorrow. I think it's a 12:30 kickoff, isn't it? I believe. Newcastle unbeaten in the last 10 games at home. Isaac's out for them, and I know they've bought Asulu from Sheffield United for 10 mil.
He's not even getting a look here.
Yeah, 10 mil, probably raising up to about 15. And you're quite right. I think that's a project, really, what they've got for him. But, I fancy Newcastle with this one, to be honest with you. I just think, I'm just looking at that run. 10 games unbeaten at home. I can see Newcastle clipping Manchester City's wings here. Yeah,
I feel so.
100%. Yeah. They're unbeaten. They're getting a nice little run together, and don't forget Rodri's out with his ACL, which is ligament damage, and I think De Bruyne
is out
as well.
50-50.
Yeah. So, you know, a score prediction. There's going to be definitely goals. I'll go for a 2-1 Newcastle United.
Can I just go back to something what CB was doing there before us?
Well, we're on to the predictions, yeah? Yeah? Don't digress. Stick to the plan, yeah?
2-1 to Man City. 2-1.
2-1 Man City. Why you think 2-1?
I think they can still pull it off regardless of what. I think they will still do. They've got more to prove now as well. They've got to keep strong, aren't they? Regardless of what's going on with this gossip here now.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, they've got to keep strong.
But they've got to keep focused on it. So every game now has got to be a winner in their mind for me.
Mm. And a score prediction from Mr. V.
Me? I'm going to go along with the same score as my general. I'm going to go along as the same score as my general. Let me just tell you how it... At the present moment, Rodgers only played twice already this season.
Mm.
Half a game, right, in one game, and then not even a full game,
against Arsenal because they got rid of him, didn't they? They made sure that he was out of the game. So Rodri hasn't played a full game. Right, we've now played four games. We've played Chelsea away. Rodri didn't play in it, and we won. We then played Ipswich at home. Rodri didn't play in it, and we won. We then played West Ham away. Rodri didn't play in it, and we won. We then played Brentford at home. Rodri come on in the second half, and we won. Right? So, what I'm trying to say to you, it's not all about Rodri. Rodri is a top player. He is the number one midfield player, I would say. But Manchester City...
In the world or league? Would you go world? Would you go as far as in the world right now? I'm present form? Well, present form is injured, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd put him as number one, yeah. As a defensive midfield player, yeah. I would, yeah.
Okay.
I would. But what I'm saying is, we've won the games without Rodri,
yeah.
Right? So, I know people are building it up as, oh, well, City are going to struggle without him. So far, we haven't struggled without him because, and he has, as I said, he's only played half a game, really, for us. Really, I haven't played a full game yet. That I can remember, unless he played against Inter Milan. Yes, he played the full game against Inter Milan, right? Which we drew. We drew, right? But other than that, he hasn't had a full, he come back and played full games, right? So for me, right, and you've got my man, Kovacic, right? And he's been playing well in that position, right? So...
I mean, yeah, I'll go ahead with that. I mean, they have got, actually, Rodri's as ranked number one. Jude Bellingham, ranked number two. And De Bruyne, ranked number three as the world's best midfielders. That's their current ranking.
Right.
So, yeah, not to disappoint CV there. If you just tuned in... you know, listening to Sweet Talking Sport on 93.2 FM. I've got G here and CV. We started off with a little bit of Formula One. We dipped into that and discussed Verstappen as being a naughty boy, swearing at the press conference. And then, yeah, a tap on the back for Mr. V, getting the prediction right with Daniel in the Lions Den. Yeah, slung down AJ. And made him look like a kid in the playpen. So we just on the predictions of the Premiership going into the last 16 minutes of the show. Arsenal v Leicester City. Now Arsenal are out with Odegaard and Raya. Late test on them. They entertain Leicester City, who have lost last five games against Arsenal. I can see Arsenal collecting maximum points. They've got to. They've got to collect maximum points against Leicester.
Let me just hear. Did you say Raya was what?
Raya, late fitness test.
I know Odegaard's not late fitness test. He's out for a while.
Raya missed the game in midweek, didn't he?
He didn't play. No, well, a lot of them didn't play against Bolton, and they beat Bolton 5.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of them didn't play.
So, that's what they're bigging it up anyway. Raya, late fitness test.
Nah, I'm expecting Arsenal. So, I'll say I'm live on air.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's have a look how Arsenal play against Leicester. Let's see if they're gonna defend.
Well, it's going to be a totally different game, isn't it? It's going to be a totally different game.
There you go.
I should imagine they're full strength, really.
It could be a 3-0 to Arsenal.
I was thinking 2.
Yeah, I think they drew plenty of goals. I think there's going to be a bit of a goal rush down there, really, against Leicester. Arsenal currently lying 4th in the league, Leicester lying 15th. And like I said, they've lost the last 5 games against Arsenal. So we're all going in the same direction for that one. a victory for Arsenal. So don't be surprised with that. And the reason why we kind of like highlight the teams that we do, obviously CV City fan, G and myself have gone for Arsenal to win the league, so there's interest there. And then the other interest lies in the Championship, where the Blades travel to Portsmouth. Portsmouth lying near the bottom, Blades lying fifth. Sidi Peck, the latest youth out of the academy, is playing really well.
I rate him.
He's covered for our blaster, and I mean, you know, I've seen him play quite a few times. I think he has got a bright future, and he could be one of them on his way. If United don't, you know, if United don't go up this season, there's clubs what will be after him. I know Rotherham United wanted him on loan, and people might say, yeah, that's only Rotherham United. But I think they was thinking that if he's going to be in the development league with the under-21s, then we can offer him some kind of like some man's football, you could say.
Yeah, first-team football.
Yeah, some first-team football. I think that's what they were looking at. But, you know, Wilder has said, nah, we'll keep him sticking around, and quite rightly so as well. Even though Pompey are down there, bottom of the league, I'd expect United to collect something from this. 2-1, something like that. But, you know, I'd expect United to get maximum points for that.
I'd agree with that. I mean, Portsmouth, United should get a cheese.
But sometimes them games when you're playing them teams at the bottom, they're kind of sticky, and it's like when you're a kid and that sweet is in that wrapper, and it nah come out. You know what I mean? For love no money, you just can't get it out, and then you rip it out of the bag, and then you've got old pieces of sticky paper on it and all that kind of rubbish. You know what I mean? I just think that, yeah, it's like, you know, a bit of a banana skin, and I'm sure Wilder would kind of agree with that as well, and say exactly the same. But yeah, like we said, I'm looking at Sheffield United 2-1 for that out and out right winners down
might be
there.
For me, it's a 1-0. Might be a 1-0
to the Blades.
Yes. Yeah, I'm thinking
1-0. G's going for the 1-0 also as well. The other side of the city. The other side, we've gone to the other side now.
Yeah, we're going
Sheffield
out, yeah.
Wednesday, currently lying 22nd in the Championship. I think that their bubble got busted after the first game, really, you know, because I think it led them into a false sense of security.
Correct.
Thinking that they've landed now, they've got their squad, and they can go onwards and upwards, but downwards it seems to be. And also they've got top of the table, West Brom. They visit Hillsborough. The Owls currently in difficult territory, relegation zone, you could say. Well, it is relegation zone. You hear that, Mo? You're in relegation zone.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Tell him, I already sent out message already, and I sure we bought West Brom on Wednesday. Yes. But who business about that? Nobody don't business about that. No, nobody don't business about that, right? I don't care about West Brom. Listen, West Brom right now are playing some decent football. So Wednesday are going to be up against it tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they're not top of the league for nothing, are
that's
they, really,
right.
when you're checking it out.
But somebody's going to fling back on me. Yeah, but we beat them last year when we really... Yeah, but that was last year.
Mm.
You can't talk about last year. If I was talking about last year, like, Vince is talking about my team now, I've been talking every four years about winning the league. Isn't it? I've been talking every 4 years about winning league. You can't talk about last year. You're talking about right now. And right now, when's it coming? When's it coming like lift? You know, like them lift. What don't work? You know, like a lift, but don't work.
Just stop, you know.
Lift is supposed to go up.
But for them, lift now work.
I mean, yeah, there was kind of like, you know, when all these players was coming in, especially the man called Mo, he was like saying, yeah, another brother's come through the door.
I know.
That door needs to get shut now because they're not improving anything, any aspect.
I agree.
You know?
Totally agree.
Yeah, no matter how much brother he's doing.
That's right. That's right. Our sister could have come in.
No, make no difference.
That nah, so nothing.
Yeah.
So, I know, business.
I think, you know, there was when they managed to stop up last season, I think there was two games that they were looking forward to, and that's against Sheffield United, home and away. And Mo was dancing up and down, and it was almost like that made his season, really. And I said, it's not just about two games, Mo, you know what I mean? I think people like that just forget, you know what I mean, that it's a season. The Championship is a very tough team, as Wednesday are finding out also as well. I mean, I'd like to start like a leaderboard, and just between the brothers in here, really. And for every kind of correct prediction, we'll get a point. And G set the ball rolling when he predicted. I think it was against Watford, G, when you said Sheffield United were going to win 1-0. I think it was against Watford. Yeah. So you registered with a point on that one. And I come through with Man City against Arsenal 2-2. I stuck out my chest and I said, yeah, 2-2, I can see it. And it was 2-2. Now, CV, we're going to give you one as well, because you predicted, obviously, the AJ, the words, that it was a shock result. Not in your eyes, because you saw it coming. You know what I mean? And you was in the minority, you know, when you predicted that.
Like,
so
like
we're going to get you a point for that as well. But in future, we'll say that in boxing, it's not just predicting the winner, because it's a 50-50. One's got to win or a freak draw or something like that. So we'll say in future, if it's the boxing, we have to predict the fighter who's going to win, and also the round what he's going to win.
Okay.
But the football, yeah, we can just go, like I've said, Sheffield United 2-1 against Portsmouth. So we've all got a point on the leaderboard. And, you know what I mean? There's plenty of time to decide what the winner's going to get. You know what I mean? So, you know, and who's going to be up there and who's going to be down there and whatever. But we all start off on the level playing field, and we've had some bad press, because there's been a punter what said there's been some bullying going on in the studio, and we'd just like to say that we don't appreciate anything like that, any bullying or anything. And if the punters feel that, you know, people are kind of like getting picked on, and they will be punished severely, yeah. And if it needs that, we need a referee to come in the studio. We'll get a referee as well. I mean, we also know that we've got that, and any one of us can you know, put pressure upon that little buzzer anytime if they feel that somebody's being picked on. You know, we don't stand for that.
I understand where one of our call, you know, our person who's listening, because we know there's many people out there what listen to us. But I understand this particular person. They're looking after. They're a person who likes to look after people. They like to look after people, and they don't like to hear people being bullied. And sometimes it may come across on the station that you are bullying certain presenters on the and the show. But you know, well said. I like how you put it right.
So what's the punishment for that?
For bullying?
Yeah.
Well, we'll leave that up to the referee. And you know, next week we'll reveal what the referee will say, what that is. But also, I'd like to say that we do kind of check in after the show, make sure that everybody's all right, and we leave on a good term. And we make sure that, you know, people are getting home and they're safe.
That's right.
We check in and check out.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, because we want, like, no... And you know, we put out requests as well. If there's anybody else out there what feel that, you know, they want to big up their team or whatever they do, whatever activity they're into, is just give the station a bell and we'll pick up the messages. And, you know, maybe if you want to come on here and say what your team's doing or whatever activity you're getting involved, or if you think that you can do a good job yourself, forward down here and we can, you know, we can sort that out. We can sort you out with a mic and we'll even give you a chair to sit down upon. So, you know, we're not going to leave it out. We won't leave it just tanning up like that in Adikana. Yeah. You know, like little Jack, you know?
Yeah,
with his tum and his mouth. Yeah? So, we're not that bad. You know, we're not that bad at all. But yeah, I hope you've kind of like... enjoyed the show. Just want to skirt a few things, and like I said, mentioned F1 Verstappen cussing in an interview and that, because he's Max Verstappen, it doesn't give him the right to kind of like cuss bad word like that at all.
I didn't really say much on that really, because it was something I didn't really know much too much about. But really, in any walk of life, right, wherever you're working, you're a professional. And if you're a professional, you have to behave like one. He's a professional Formula One driver. If he's swearing and everything, that is not professional. And he's not portraying Formula One in a good light. You've got little children who are watching it, right? And if they're hearing my man cussing some big word, right, they might think that they can do it. They might think they can cross that big whip because it's all right, but it's not. Mm. He has to remember, he is in the public eye. He's in the public eye, so he has, right, to make sure that he keeps his reputation.
I totally agree with that, and I don't even know that there's been an apology. At least Eubanks Jr. had, you know, the nouns to apologise, you know, for dissing them kind of promoters. Frank Warren got dissed, Eddie Hearn got dissed.
Yeah, and he had to apologise, but so did Frank Warren had to apologise as well.
Okay.
Yeah, they you know, the Sheikh.
Okay.
Right. He obviously is the man who's with the money. So what he'll have probably have done is said, yo, I want water when I come in here now. I want the water you come in here now. And that apology. So Frank had to say to Chris, look, okay, I'm sorry about that and whatever. And I hope to see you in the fight and whatever. Mm. And Chris had to come good as well and said the same thing. Right? Because at the end of the day, the Sheikh, my man, is the one who's putting up the dollars.
That's right? True. That's true.
And when my man's putting up dollars, you've got to jump, haven't you? If he said,
well,
I want...
Well, not going to argue with the Sheikh.
No!
Is it really?
If he said, I want you jump high, he must be jump high. So you go.
It's true. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight with Chris Eubank Jr. when he fights Camille. October the 12th, and I'm sure we're going to be discussing that one as time goes by also as well. And if Mr. Warren's listening, yeah, you didn't get us because we never said that word. We replaced it with custard cream. Yeah, so I just don't want to be sued. You know what I mean?
So he's, this man said a word and he's trying to deny he said that word. Now why he's trying to sue people?
No, he did say it.
Yeah, he did say it.
And apologised. And like CV said, Warren also apologised well because they were both having digs and stuff like
that's
that.
Right.
And Warren was really animated on Talk Sport, and I thought, why, you know, I thought that's going to be a topic that we'll discuss on Sweet Talking Sport.
Okay.
And I just had to remind myself not to say that word.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
We can talk about the talk side.
100%. Yeah, now we'll be on that.
Anyway,
I assure you.
I've just had a quick message before we sign off of one of our our listeners, and they've said maybe we could get Mr. Wright on, as in Mr. Ian Wright. And if he comes on, then maybe the caller said they may come on as well.
And on that note,
we bid you goodbye.
Yes, Aya. Yes. I hope you've been listening. Guys,
see you later.
Yep.
In a bit. Sheet of the soul, papa, don't you? Baby, why you blessing?